This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Tyler Perry may be the most successful living playwright most people have never heard of. He's built a $75 million industry from heartfelt plays with lots of music and spiritual messages, plays that are seen in the black community. Now he's got his first movie coming out, and he's on the threshold of wider recognition. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates has this report.
It's almost 8 on a Thursday night, and the lobby of the spacious Kodak Theater in Hollywood is packed. Couples in everything from casual chic to flat-out glam make their way to the ticket takers.
Hi, Maisie.
Hi.
Little girls in velvet dresses clutch their parents' hands, and stately grandmothers walk across the marble floors, anxious to get to their seats. They're all here to see Tyler Perry in the title role of his new play, Madea Goes to Jail. Madea is Perry in grandma drag. 6 feet 3 inches of flowered dress, silver wig, and old school advice, whether or not you ask for it. In this play, Madea tells her lovelorn nephew that he should have seen the end of his marriage way before it finally collapsed.
If it walk like a duck, quack like a duck, guess what?
That lively call and response, the uninhibited laughter, are both indications that this is not your standard theater experience. And for Perry, that's exactly the point.
I try to see as many Broadway shows as I can in New York, and I'll sit and I'll look at the audience, and they're very still and they're very quiet, and the sound system is a whisper, and it's so elegant and soft and beautiful, and you come into my world, and the speakers are loud, and every time there's a number, you go to this concert, and it's a very different experience.
Providing that very different experience has helped Perry build a small entertainment empire on Madea and her supporting cast by giving black families what has become known as urban theater, a mixture of comedy, drama, and spiritual uplift. Perry's a fan of traditional theater, but he knows it doesn't speak to some segments of the black community.
An entire group of people who are not being serviced, who are not going to go and see, because I know my family, yeah, I can't get them to sit through Aida. They won't do it. So I tried to get a marriage from what was affectionately known as Chitlin Circuit Theater and horrible sets and horrible sound systems and horrible everything, and tried to make a marriage between that and Broadway and find that line in the middle and service these people who won't see either.
And they are indeed coming to see Tyler Perry, often more than once. His plays such as Madea's Class Reunion, I Can Do Bad All By Myself, and Meet the Browns are often sold out before they even arrive in their destination cities, thanks to an aggressive email campaign and constant outreach. And thanks to Madea herself. Here, Perry, as Madea, offers one way to handle the world's most wanted terrorist.
I want Osama. I want to find Osama. I will beat Osama straight. That's who I want. When they find him, don't do nothing to him but bring him to me.
Perry says Madea's no-nonsense character is drawn from real life.
Madea is a cross between my mother and my aunts, and she's the character that I enjoy, but I also, it bothers me to play her because she's so taxing, the fat suit and the makeup and the wig, and I have a new appreciation for women and what they go through every day, and lipstick and all this other stuff. I cannot stand it.
He hadn't planned to stand it for very long. Perry says Madea originally was a limited edition experiment, but audiences fell in love with her, perhaps because she represents a vanishing breed.
Because she was on every corner in the South. Back in the day, when your kid did something, she would straighten them out, then call you and tell you what had happened. I mean, she's missed because grandmothers are much younger now. So I think the audiences kind of wax nostalgic when they see her.
She's also a comforting memory from Perry's own troubled childhood in New Orleans. He began writing about that when he was in his late teens.
I was watching the Oprah show one day, and she said it was cathartic to write things down. So I started writing all of this stuff down and that I had been through as a kid, you know, from the darkest days to, you know, my father not thinking I was his child and the abuse and the beatings and all that stuff. But I used different people's names because if someone found it, I didn't want them to know that I had been through all of that stuff. So after writing all of this stuff down, a friend of mine did find it. He goes, man, this is a really good play. And I go, wow. A play. Okay.
His friend's reaction was an epiphany, and Tyler Perry became convinced that the theater was his destiny. He moved to Atlanta, saved thousands of dollars, and rented a theater to put on his first play. 30 people came. That failure, Perry says, educated him and turned him into what one LA Times theater critic called a marketing genius. Perry cultivated and grew a huge email list, made personal entreaties over local radio, and relied on word of mouth from satisfied theatergoers. It worked then. It still does. At intermission of that Thursday night performance, Marvin and Rosie Wimbush tell why they came to the Kodak to see Perry's latest.
Because the other two we've seen were outstanding. And I figured this one had to be also.
And he gives a message. People need to think about what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're acting. Just really think about it. And then he points that out, but he also gives the solution.
People like the Wimbushes feel a cultural connection to Tyler Perry's work. Now Lionsgate Films is hoping that appeal will stretch beyond the black community. They're releasing the film adaptation of an earlier Perry play, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, nationwide today. The film stars Kimberly Elise as Helen, the devoted, self-sacrificing wife to self-made wealthy lawyer Charles, played by Steve Harris. In typical Perry fashion, the movie starts with a crisis. Helen's devastation when Charles demands a divorce.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying it's over.
Charles!
Helen, don't act so surprised. I haven't been happy for years.
18 years, and you think you can just come in here and end it like this? Charles, what am I supposed to do without you?
Look, you're a bright girl. You'll figure it out.
Eventually she does, with a little advice from a familiar character.
If you get an opportunity to get even with somebody that did you wrong and you don't take it, then you're over it. But if you don't and you beat the hell out of them, you ain't over it yet.
Tom Ortenberg is the president of Lionsgate Film Releasing. He believes Perry's movie will go beyond its traditional base.
We knew that Tyler knew his audience. We knew that his core audience was very faithful to him. And we had a lot of faith in him and his vision that he would speak not just to his core audience from the theater circuit, but to a much broader audience nationwide.
In fact, Ortenberg's studio is so convinced of this, they've signed on to a second Perry movie. It will begin production in August. Karen Grigsby-Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.